Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the afternoon $1 movie. I'm your host, Bob Downs. But of course, you know that. And today we have a cinema classic for you. The Return of the Killer Tomatoes. Sounds like a real winner, doesn't it? Now, some lucky viewer today, if they know the secret word, will have a chance to win our pot of gold jackpot.
That's the bravest thing I've ever seen a vegetable do. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 210. My name is Scott Johnson, and with me tonight is Brian. I don't mind that you're a fuzzy tomato, Dunaway.
Aw, the 80s, a time when a young man could find himself delivering pizza on a Honda Spree one day, and the next, visiting a sex shop with a tomato, a very hot tomato. Wait, I just got that. Tomato is a euphemism for hot women.
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah.
I may have to watch this thing all over again.
No. No, don't do it. Not even for this. Also with us, Randy. You're a real cloud jockey, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Did you know that I used to work at a wacky pizza parlor?
Do tell.
True story. Crazy pizzas. We made them. And you would not believe what happens at Bonkers Pizza when you run out of tomato sauce. Now, I know you're thinking, no problem. Just dress your pizza with garlic butter sauce or Alfredo sauce or pesto. You'd think that, wouldn't you? But no. When we ran out of tomatoes at the stupid pie hole, we suddenly started serving tartar sauce pizzas, horseradish pizzas, pickle relish pizzas, and Brian Dunaway's favorite, mustard pizza. Mm. And you know what you put on a mustard pizza?
What?
637 kinds of mustard.
Nice. It was pretty disgusting.
That's a hell of a thing. Yeah. We'll talk about that some more, because that seemed like a bad idea all around. Finally with us, Brian, all his tomatoes look like Rambo Ibbot.
You know, it's so crazy when you see someone at the very beginning of their career and you just know watching them that they're going to make it big. I remember Thursday night seeing him on NBC Must See TV, and he'd come such a long way from Killer Tomatoes. Oh, and those crazy shoes that he and Kramer came up with. Wait, you guys weren't talking about the Jimmy?
The Jimmy.
Jimmy shoes.
Nice, dude. That guy was in that, wasn't he?
He was the other main dude.
What did he... Yep. Yeah, he was just, Jimmy didn't like the, that's right. The guy.
Okay. Jimmy's been watching you.
All right. Nicely picked out. Yeah. It didn't hit me during the whole, I'm like, yeah, he's familiar as hell, but I don't know why. Moving on. But you found it. You pinpointed it.
Yeah, that's it, though.
The movie is Return of the Killer Tomatoes, and we're here to talk about it. We're going to let Scott Fletcher explain more.
Return of the Killer Tomatoes. Crazed Professor Gangrene is back and scheming to obtain world domination with his creation of genetically enhanced tomato fighters.
No. So it is John DeBello's classic Return of the Killer Tomatoes. He's known for the Killer Tomato or Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. And then that other one that didn't work out as well later called some other tomato thing.
Yeah.
Also a cartoon. You guys remember the cartoon?
Yes, I remember
Killer
the cartoon.
Tomatoes cartoon.
There was. Yeah. Brian Dunaway, you remember it more than I did. What was the point? Because it was for kids, so what was the deal there?
Yeah. Well, it was this movie. They took the characters from this movie, not the first one, but the Return of the Killer Tomatoes, and made it into a Saturday morning cartoon. Because if you didn't notice, they were kind of shoving the fuzzy tomato down our throats because they were trying to get that kid angle on here. So it felt very much like that. But yeah, the 80s cartoon show was a lot of fun on Saturday mornings. Did you guys never watch it?
No,
never saw
I remember it? Seeing it, no. Hearing about it, but never really remember and
this
seeing
is my,
much.
This is my first time ever seeing anything Killer Tomato related.
All the tomato? Neither is your
you
first
got away.
The first one. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to wait this long without seeing nothing? Good job.
Exactly.
Crazy. Yep. I think I saw the first one, don't remember a thing about it. And this one I didn't see. And the cartoon I have vague memory of. And then that's it. Why this didn't take off to be a regular every decade, let's reboot the series thing I'll never know. Oh, wait, I do know exactly why, because it's poo.
Exactly.
It's poo.
Is it poo?
Yeah, it's poo.
Yeah, it's poo.
All right. Go ahead and ask that again. Yes, it's poo. Anthony Stark is the dude in it. He's the main dude. He did not go on to as much high praise as George Clooney did, who was kind of second tomato. Second tomato.
Second look at tomato.
Very funny.
I did not mean to do that. It seems fake, but I really didn't mean to. Anyway, he's in it. I only know him from one other thing. He was in the television adaptation, series adaptation of The Magnificent Seven. He was one of the seven.
That there was that either.
That's that was great. That was Michael Biehn, and he was in charge there. You got your hold on. Who's Hellboy? My brain just went dead. Hellboy. Who's he? Who plays Hellboy?
The Beast.
Ron Perlman. He was in it. Perlman. He played the preacher. That's a good show.
Also one of the seven.
He is one. Yeah, he's one. Oh, yeah. If you don't know about like the Magnificent Seven, the original movie, then that TV show won't make much sense. And you're not a Western guy, so that makes sense. But if you liked that stuff, that was pretty good. It was only on for like three seasons. It was all right. And this guy was in it. He was kind of a city slicker. He was the dude that would roll into the saloon and into town in the best clothes, maybe the best hat, a bit of a swindler, kind of a card gambler man, and then he would show his true colors, which is a big softy in the end, because, you know, he doesn't want to see no injustice done. So he'd whip out his guns, and he's pretty good with a six shooter. That was his role. So that was him. That's that guy. And then George Clooney, who went on to do way more stuff than that guy ever dreamed. And other people.
I was kind of sad that Clooney was the other guy.
Wait. I want to know why George Clooney not okay as the other guy. Why not? At this
point
in his
career. No, I was
sad
he was the other guy.
Oh, why is that? Why would you be sad?
Because I was hoping he would be the guy in this
movie. The guy.
Well, like he was. This is before, though, right?
Right.
Like his aunt was famous.
They didn't recognize his prowess.
No, but didn't you, though? Like at the end of this movie, I walked away going, you know what? You can kind of see that Clooney was going to be good. Like he's got talent, and you could see it in the movie, even though the movie around him is kind of poop. He's believable. He's interesting. He's charming. He's mullety.
He's got a beautiful hat. Come on.
That's his hair, dude. His hair.
That hat is beautiful. Come on.
This movie thinks, I mean, I just want to get this right out there, and it's actually a trope now that I think about it.
Ooh, wait then. Okay.
The trope of when the movie thinks that sex is so funny all the time. It's so funny. Oh, my God.
It's a teenage humor. Of course it's funny.
I was going to say the Porky's Clause. Pretty close. Right. Porky's Clause is a really bad holiday family favorite. Yeah. No, but you're right. Isn't that's true of any of these dumb things? Is if your movie was made between, let's say, 76 and I want to say 89, sex is just the funniest thing ever and the most embarrassing tee-hee-hee thing ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like every little joke in the movie. There's really only two kinds of jokes in the movie. There's ew, gross out jokes, and sex jokes. And they run together because sex is apparently funny and gross.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this was marketed towards teenagers. So, of course, it's all about the awkwardness of sex and the goofiness of all the goofiness. I think it was spot on for what it was aiming for.
Listen, here's what I wanted, and this is what I didn't get. I usually go off a movie poster for some of what I expect. And movie posters for Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and Return of the Killer Tomatoes both indicated that we would have big anthropomorphic tomatoes with big sharp teeth and angry
with
eyes.
Faces and never happens.
But they address this in the opening theme song, which apparently, you know, you didn't listen to. Come on, man. Their budget is smaller. They couldn't do it. And it's odd that you should mention the poster. Did you read the trivia about the poster?
No. What?
Originally. Right. Originally, they were going to do kind of a Campbell's soup kind of a label thing on the front of it.
All right.
And they ran into some copyright issues. So they had to go back and actually paste another picture over top of what's in the Killer Tomatoes in the trash can.
That's funny.
No, wait. So you mean on the actual physical posters, they had to put like a big sticker on top?
Well, they didn't put it on the physical poster, but in the original illustration, the illustrator who created the original poster submitted an idea. It went well. Then there was some copyright problems, so they ended up having to go back and have the illustrator redo it.
All right.
Oh, sure. It's fine for Warhol.
Right?
Yeah, this is an art, Brian.
Yeah.
But it would have been way better trivia if they had to, if they'd printed 1,000 of these for theaters, and then some poor schmoo had to go around all these theaters and put a.
That would have been better trivia. Our trivia was weak this week, Scott.
I love products that are fixed with a sticker.
Yeah, right?
Right.
I love that. When I'm walking through the grocery store and I see that they put a sticker over something, I'm so much more interested in that.
Oh yeah. The first thing you do when you buy something that's got a sticker on it, you pull that sticker off. I want to know what they screwed up.
I agree.
You know, may contain glass.
Yeah. Like instead of the pen is dangerous, and they accidentally put the is and the pen too close, and it said the penis is dangerous. Yeah, the penis is what it says.
I'd like to see somebody actually market that. Like your gross curiosity gets triggered when they do certain things.
Look, better than that, here's the better thing than that, is when you get a new VCR or something, you crack that thing open, and there's a big pink photocopied sheet of paper in there that says, extra instructions, warning, or something. Something they couldn't put in the manual because it came in too late. You open that thing up, it's like, these are known to cause sterilization or whatever. Mm. And you wouldn't have known if they hadn't put in this little last second, some guy had to stuff that in a box. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I do too. It was usually pictures of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich not going into the VCR. It's like, no, do not. Big X mark over it.
Circle / peanut butter sandwich. Yes.
Yeah. Do not do.
That's how most of my PlayStation 1 games got ruined, because my daughter would shove those discs into a VCR. Right. And then the VCR would have like 8 PlayStation games in it. And getting those out was they're already scratched up. They already had kid boogers all over them.
Oh man, the big slots into electronics does not exist in the current time frame. I mean, we have CD slots, but you can't really get much in there. But back in the day, man, you had a big old sandwich sized slot for your electronics, which was fantastic.
Normally a fairly good stiff slice of salami you could probably get into a PS4.
Oh, probably,
maybe. The weirdest thing to me is that we were all alive for and remember someone actually purchasing a device called a VHS tape rewinder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
A standalone piece of electronics. Yes,
I had one.
That is just amazing.
You got to rewind on that while you watch the next movie on the other one, or else you're going to get dinged at Blockbuster.
Yeah, exactly.
Think of something
rewind.
Like, it's going to be hard to think of something more archaic to someone born after 1990.
I could give him 8-tracks a little more archaic, because you couldn't rewind those at all. You had to. You could only go forward. There was no going back on 8-tracks. But yeah, VHS was stupid. It was the stupidest, stopgap, lamest consumer electronics era ever. Because we knew at the time, like I knew at the time when that was happening, especially because CDs were already out, right? People had CDs. And I went, eventually, we're going to make some kind of something on those. And that's going to replace this. And this idea of tape and like rolling it from one reel to another, this is like Mad Max trying to just get enough gas to make it another weekend. You know, it's stupid. It was always dumb. I can't believe we did it.
I can't believe we
made a movie in Australia in the 70s either. That's just stupid. Sorry.
Well, you know what that's kind of how it goes.
Oh, Mad Max. I get it. Hey, that new one, you know, you seen the trailer for that there? Seen the trailer for the new Mad Max?
No. I have seen it. You haven't seen it yet?
Fury Road, it's called. It looks great. And this is, what's his name? Coming back and making another Mad Max movie. So it's not some new director or whatever. It's Frank Miller? No, not Frank Miller. Other Miller.
Yeah. It would be nice if it...
Right, the same guy, right.
Same dude, making a new Mad Max movie. It's Tom Hardy is your Mad Max now, who's great. Huh. I like him a lot. Okay. And it looks intense and super violent and rad, and I totally want to see it.
I need it to have completely unexplained and unnecessary roving bands of motorcycles.
This trailer is for you, dude. Oh, my gosh. Everything you just said. It's all there. They may as well have said, just walk away. They didn't, but they could have.
There has never been a more unexplained anything than in that first movie with the motorcycle gangs.
It looks great. The only thing I can't confirm is I don't think he had a dog with him, and that seems like an error. But
in the original?
No.
He didn't have a dog in Thunderdome either.
He had a dog in Rogue Warrior and the first Mad Max.
Mad Max, yeah.
That was his pet. And then the thing, I think it got killed. Like, didn't Tina Turner eat it or something? Something weird happened there.
I thought it got ran over.
I may have made that up. But think how fun that would be. Tina Turner just chowing down on that dog you've known for two movies.
Who eats Master Blaster?
But the
then thing, I'll run by the town.
It looks really, really good. I can't wait for it. And that's nothing to do with Killer Tomatoes, but I just wanted to get that out.
I am going to have a hard time talking about Return of the Killer
Tomatoes. Nothing we've talked about for the last 10 minutes has anything to do with Killer Tomatoes.
Brian Dunaway, it's a long and bad episode of You Can't Do That on TV, whatever that was called.
It's Kentucky Fried Movie, basically.
Yeah,
it's a movie
Kentucky
that's
Fried
self-aware.
Movie, better example.
Yeah. Movies that are better than this are, you just named two. I'd put the airplane movies in there.
Hell yes.
Top Secret. Like a million other movies are better at this than this.
It was clearly influenced by things like Airplane.
Sure.
Clearly, but not much influence, like not enough influence. Like they couldn't even pull off the jokes that had already been done in multiple other movies. You just got to do the same joke, and they didn't.
Well, they also didn't know when to hold back. Those other movies are good for knowing when to hold back or when to do a callback. This movie, when it got into that product placement crap, did not know to end it. Mm-hmm. When is a good time to stop that? Because by the time you're on the fifth or sixth reference, you're like, okay, dude, we get it. You're selling out to all the product placement. We totally get the joke. Mm-hmm. Now move on to something else. I hated that.
Oh, God.
I enjoyed it
for so long.
That was actually a joke that would have worked better if they'd taken it farther quickly and then dropped it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like if they had packed it all in the next like 20 seconds,
that would have been all right.
I don't know. Now, I kind of enjoyed the, it felt like a running joke to me. They did do it was a running joke. And I don't think it was that bad. I don't know.
You're going to be pro this movie, aren't you?
I'm going to not be pro this movie, but I'm going to be, I think it has its place.
Well, you know, there is one, at least one, but I mean, there was one point that I thought, okay, that was actually really funny. And it was the point at which they say, everything from the first reel pays off in the second. And
right.
Clooney says, oh, not everything. And then the pizza that he threw up in the air at the very beginning that you're kind of waiting for them to drop down, like after he goes and does something with a cash register and then comes back, and you completely forget about that.
That was a chick in the bucket a little bit, didn't you think?
It kind of was,
Yeah, on purpose, obviously.
And I actually appreciated that and thought it was very funny.
Sure.
All right, you didn't laugh when they got on the quad runners? I mean, come on. Well, it was still a product placement joke, but I mean, it was even they were getting annoyed with it. And so have we got this turkey? Have we paid for this turkey yet?
Right. And then they cut over and the guys are all drinking champagne and women crawling all over.
Dumb.
It's
dumb.
They could have done that 5 minutes earlier and it would have been a lot funnier. It just came after too much.
But what would we have watched for 5 minutes if we didn't do that joke? What we would have done?
How about an actual tomato that was scary instead of this fuzzy dumb one that everyone's getting friendly with? The can I just say the Orko of this movie is that freaking tomato.
Yes, the Jar Jar of killer tomatoes.
And no offense to anybody who runs an Etsy store, but I've seen about a billion things on Etsy that look like that thing. It's like sewed together. It was not a tomato. It was like a plushie. It was so stupid.
And it was Gizmo from the Gremlins.
It's worse than Gizmo because at least Gizmo kind of cute.
Legs.
Gizmo was cute.
He ran around with legs like this.
This was just a ball. It was a ball with a little felt, a green felt on the top to make it seem like a tomato plant had birthed it or whatever. It was terrible. Right. It was terrible. The only other time you saw a tomato was when, what's his name, Adams there.
From Adam's Family.
John Astin.
Put a half ripe tomato. He put it on like a baseball tee, and then out would come a Rambo. That's not scary. That's not cool.
Oh, but it made me think of Rambo Ragu, so that was totally worth it.
Oh my
God. You're a nerd.
Awesome. I liked it. And those guys were totally buff and totally tan.
Well, okay. Can't argue with that.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time arguing with that. John DiBella, let me tell you about this guy's career. He's almost my hero now after looking at what he's done. Here are his directorial credits, okay? Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, 1978. Mm-hmm. Happy Hour, 1986. Return of the Killer Tomatoes, 88. Killer Tomatoes Strike Back, 91. Killer Tomatoes Eat France, 92. Patrick claims this never existed, this movie, but I say it did.
Lies. It's there. Steve Lundquist is in that, too.
Black Dawn, 1997. And then finally, EA Sports Game Time, Series 2, Episode 1.
Get out of here.
That guy's really the best. Awesome. That guy's the best. Just look at him. Oh, and then he did music for the TV show that you were talking about, Brian, which was like 91-ish. And he did songs like The Great Tomato Wars, Ultra Tomato 3, The Tomato War, Worm's Turn, and Stemming the Tide.
Anyway. Hey, he made a career out of this, all right? So,
sure.
So you can't judge him.
I sense something happening here, which I kind of like. And that's, this is more than just this one movie. The jokes and the fun of it are really only accessible to you if you're giving it more than just this one movie. Right?
Like, what do you mean? Like, you're accepting the fact?
If it's part of a whole.
Okay.
Then maybe it doesn't have to tell the complete story. Is that what you're saying, Randy?
Well, you were forgiving of the product placement joke because it went on. And I realized, wait a minute, maybe we should be more forgiving and have more fun with the whole thing because it's part of a greater whole. A lot of other movies and jokes.
Maybe. But don't those things have to be big and successful for the references to connect and feel good and work? You know, like you don't make, if Star Wars was a total tank, a million Star Wars references would just fall on deaf ears. It either has to be so campy, like Zardoz. Mm-hmm. And, but then again, you have to see Zardoz to get anything Zardoz does.
That's a tough one too. I mean, it's gotta be way more in the public.
If I went into the mall this afternoon and yelled, "The penis is evil," how many people there would know what the hell I was talking about?
First of all, you have a mall.
Yeah, we got mini malls.
All right.
It's just like a mini mall. But yeah, what do you mean I have malls? You have malls? Everyone has a mall.
Oh man,
malls?
No.
South Carolina?
This is America.
Malls, we still have a few malls left, but I mean the mall has
It's waned. You know, you're not wrong. I mean, there's no new malls kicking in, but there are plenty.
I don't hear anybody saying when I go down to the mall anymore. I mean, except for you, Scott. But I don't hear anybody. Yeah, I love the mall.
I do.
I don't even know where the mall is. What are you talking about?
I know, the mall. I go to the mall. There's a couple of malls. Now it's starting to sound weird when I say the word mall.
Yeah, it does. Right.
But like the Fashion Place Mall, they got a big old nice Apple store in there. I like to go in there and smell everything. And then I'll go over to the pretzel maker deal there and you get yourself a little hot pretzel thing. And then Kim will, you know, hang out in some perfume business or wherever. And it's a mall. It's got an arcade in there. Yeah, they got a pizza, right? The food court.
So it's like, Utah's like stepping back in time.
When I was in Anaheim, I went to three malls. Like, there's malls everywhere. There's malls everywhere. I don't know what you guys are missing about the malls. They haven't gone away. Malls are still a thing. All
right. A thing, okay. Right.
You say so.
Chicken the bucket, pizza, Clooney flew in the air. Is that where we were? What were we doing? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about Steve Lundquist for a second?
Yeah. Is he the one that called San Francisco, New York, or called New York, San Francisco? Anyway, go ahead. What?
Did he really?
That was a joke, though.
Was it?
Yes. They were showing things, and what they were saying was incongruous.
All right. Maybe this is to your point earlier. Should we accept it for the farce that it is and less of, oh, great, you were actually filming in San Francisco and you said it was New York?
That was the joke. And
yeah, and exactly. That, so obviously not New York.
It's a bad joke.
Right. They were specifically showing a cable car.
Exactly.
Well, so, okay. So what is the fine line where some in the audience are like, that's not, am I just too far out of this kind of farcical crap to recognize the joke when it comes? I mean, it didn't even phase me.
You answered your own question.
I just thought, well,
I think our sense of humor was a lot different. We talk about this on Film Sack all the time, but you know, I think our sense of humor was a lot different this time. I mean, when have we seen a return of the Keystone Cop kind of run through a movie? I mean, have we seen that again since?
I don't think so.
This kind of movie. So, I mean, it just doesn't work.
Oh, they sped up the film and they ran real fast. Yeah.
And they're running around and it just doesn't happen anymore.
I can't think of a modern day equivalent where that works. Yeah.
Right.
That's done. We're out with that. I think. Totally. Even if you're trying to do, well, I mean, okay. You know how horror movies are all into this, like, sped up movement of the haunted or the possessed or the creatures or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. That's not the same exactly, but
no, set you unease.
But at some point we may look back at that and go, well, it's
no one knows that
anymore.
We already parody that the crap out of that now. I mean, little girls with their hair in their face, mm-hmm. you know, cricking around.
Stringy, black,
we do that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like how much would it ruin a movie like Bridesmaids 2 if they all suddenly started running around at 3x speed?
Yeah, name a director that could get away with that now. I can't think of any.
I can't either. They'd have to be so self-referential and like so, look at us being all ironic. And
like Benny Hill.
Yeah, remember that,
exactly.
Everybody?
And totally Benny Hill.
Dumb
mustache. And you know, there was a lot of we were kind of enamored with the 50s during the 80s. And so we were taking a look back at the love stories that were during the 50s.
Yeah.
And I really felt like that's what this was kind of spoofing. Not only the horror movies, but also the love story. From
that girl is cute, by the way.
She's gorgeous. Oh,
yeah, impossible
she's,
cute.
She's lovely. Right.
Impossible cute. I couldn't have
impossible
her.
Impossible cute. I mean, this is cute you make in a lab. It is not, not cute that happens organically.
She was, what was her name?
Karen, Tara was her character's name. Yeah. And they really do her a disservice during the 80s cartoon because she's more like a vapid 80s kind of valley girl in the cartoon. Whereas here she's more of a tomato that come to life, trying to figure out humans, what their drives are, sex drive, that kind of thing.
Well, she has not been in anything since 2003. She was famous for being in this movie, Space Cowboys, which was kind of a big deal.
Right, right.
And Cannibal Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death.
Yes. Yeah, Bill Maher film.
Is that the one?
Really? Is that a Bill Maher film?
Yeah, they showed that on. That was like an HBO late night staple, that Cannibal Women.
I don't remember that.
I don't think I ever saw it, but I remember always seeing it in there. Maybe got through the first couple minutes like, right. Oh, all right. Yeah, this looks great. Yeah.
The last thing she did was Dragnet during 2003.
Which, by the way, was really good. It was really good. It shouldn't have gone away.
Yeah. I mean, it was no Cop Rock, but it was okay.
No. This had what's his name? Al from Married with Children. I can't think of his name. The actor.
Ed O'Neill.
It was Ed O'Neill. And then, so he was the main guy. And then, Friday. And then his buddy, who in the old TV show was played by Colonel Potter there.
He was Dan Aykroyd.
No, he was played by.
Oh, that would have been great.
He was played by the kid that played Papa Giorgio in that Christmas Vacation movie, or the Vegas Vacation.
Yeah,
that kid. And you know what? It was really good. It was the Law and Order guy did it. Dick Wolf, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Dick Wolf. Anyway, that guy did it, and it was actually a pretty good crime drama, and it just didn't work out. But
Did they do the voiceover on that as well? Because that seems so campy.
Maybe that was their problem. I think he may have done some voiceover, but it was never like, I was in the city. It wasn't like that kind of noir kind of crap. It was more like
I'm pretty sure they didn't do that in the original either.
All right, maybe not quite like that, but
it was still good.
Really good, and it lasted like three episodes, and then everyone was out, and I was sad because I thought it was a great reboot. I think people were not used to seeing Al Bundy do something else. I think that was wearing him out.
Were you guys not totally charmed? Did you not have your pants charmed off by Steve Lundquist as Igor? I mean, was he not just?
No, I hated him.
He's a beautiful man. He was a 1984 gold medal Olympic.
Yeah, I've seen him in anything else because God, he looked familiar.
Yeah, he's been in a few other things, but I think another one of the this director's movies as well.
It's all the tomato shit. There's nothing else.
Right.
There's a couple of new Adam 12 things in 91. He was in ABC After School specials in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Something called Trenchcoat in Paris. Earth Girls Are Easy. I guess that's the thing people know about.
That was the other thing.
He was on the Love Boat as Steve Riskin. I wonder if that was a sports guy somehow. I'll bet it might have been
Steve Riskin,
quarterback for the Buffalo Bumbleers or some fake name because they didn't have the NFL license. Anyway, that guy's done nothing else, though. The last thing he did was that Tomatoes Eat France deal.
He should have done so much more because I swear when he's talking to...
he's terrible in this, though.
Man, no, he's not. When he goes awful. Through his...
Igor, I think he's terrible. He's I think he's acting way worse than he is. I think actually he's got... he didn't have any Clooney chops. By any stretch of the imagination.
But he's hilarious.
Clooney chops.
Clooney chops.
You got any Clooney chops? Oh, we're fresh out. That's Thursday special. Clooney chops. Okay, fine. Let's say your theory's right there, Ibbot. Mm-hmm. Nobody recognized the underneath this Igor thing was something amazing.
The genius underneath the sport coat.
I can't help but think
there was an interesting story where Clooney came in to read for Chad Finletter, and they said, you know what? We need somebody who's kind of a loser, but we do have a role for you. Yeah. Matt Stevens, the roommate.
I really feel like the screech of this movie.
Right. I really feel like that's probably what might have happened.
Yeah.
I love that your assumption about this film is that it was made like any other movie, and there were like people with money, and they were doing casting, and they, brought in some up and coming stars and treated them well, as opposed to
people had
two guys
cards
talking in a bar. Yeah.
That may be true. You might be right.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. But I like that that Clooney, again, maybe this just means Clooney's just barely phoning it in all the time and he's just that good.
Right, right.
But he struck me as like, whoa, you're the standout in this. And you're also playing that role really well. I really like Ibbitt's idea of having we should have a segment on the show where we do find the screech of the movie. Because there's always the screech, right? The screech exists in every story.
I guess I'm going to think of the screech. Who was the buddy in Fright Night? You know, the...
The one that turned into the...
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And that same kind of... That's the Clooney character. It's the oversexed...
Yeah.
Buddy that is the wingman, but also maybe gets the chicks better. And
who's the what's the movie about the one of the just one of the boys or whatever, the girl with the football helmets over her boobs on a cover?
Because that happens that happens a lot in the movie, is that she's got helmets over her boobs,
right? Except the except none of the times,
except never happened, right.
except for sure.
But her brother, so her brother, the character, the brother in there is totally this thing,
that same kind of thing.
So what do we call that guy? We got to give that a name.
Charlie Brewster
character name in,
who's the Matt Stevens?
Is he? I don't know. A second.
I don't know who this is, but you're right. Every movie's got this guy or a girl equivalent. There's male and female versions of this. Mm-hmm. We just watched Hitch. My girls made me watch Hitch again. Hitch, dude.
It's streaming on Netflix.
Freaking,
right?
I know James. It is, and I hate it. Yeah. I hate
or is
Hitch.
That the one with the?
Why do we hate Hitch?
Have you seen Hitch lately? It is.
I've never seen the movie.
It's bad. I love Will Smith. I like Kevin James.
Will Smith one. Okay.
I like Kevin James a lot, actually.
Right, so we did have both of them in there. Wasn't there another one like Cupid that was kind of the same kind of thing?
Probably. It probably came out the same year. It was like Deep Impact for that movie. But anyway, that movie's got a girl version of this character you're talking about. Like every rom-com has either a dude, a girl, or both being the Matt Stevens character. Mm. And I still don't have a name for it, so... I guess we'll just
the buddy Griffith.
All right, the buddy Griffith,
because that's the character name in Just One of the Guys.
Yeah,
the buddy Griffith.
Okay, good one.
Isn't that the same name as the character in Charles in Charge? And he plays the same kind of deal.
Might be. Buddy, never saw a single episode of that either.
No, it was Buddy. It was
the same
buddy.
Idea.
We'll call him Buddy. That's a great name for him.
Yeah. And weren't those two in a movie where they could see through girls' clothes and they were the same basic characters as basically
Zapped? I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
Projectile vomiting. Why have we not watched that?
What? In Zapped?
Yeah, Zapped has projectile vomiting where Scott Baio can't quite make it to the sink.
Oh, that's
great. And so he uses his powers to project the puke halfway across the room. It's a great scene.
Really?
I just found the clip. I will share it with everyone here shortly. Anyway.
Please.
Yeah, I will. So good on us for talking about that. And avoiding the point here, which is this.
Well, one last actor before we move on.
All right.
John Astin, I think, was...
Gomez. Yeah.
They couldn't have picked a better person for this role.
No, they could have. They could have.
No.
They could have picked 1,000 people. He was fine. He was fine. I feel like he deserves better.
He brought class to this movie.
He deserves better,
even
the good
not
way
believing
to put it. Yes. He did great with the material he was given.
Sure. He had some funny lines. He said things like... This
is your boss, you weenie.
That's pretty funny.
You weenie.
It's pretty good.
It was a weird mix of pornography, mild pornography with no profanity in this movie, because there's no profanity. They just use these words like weenie and buddy, pal, all these.
Hold on, where was the nudity?
No, almost. Well, there was a little bit of side boob in the beginning when they're doing the girls go to the beach and they take their tops off.
Yeah, that was.
She's riding chicken style.
And there's a shower curtain, steamy shower curtain
scene. And there's
shower glass. Yeah.
Okay. There's Clooney's girl. Yeah. Clooney's girl who pops up and out of the bed. She's got a see through kind of thing. What? I was not looking for boobies.
Yeah, I know, but they weren't. I mean, what I'm getting at is it wasn't like Porky's level. Like here's everything on display, kind of.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was they talked about, okay, if people haven't seen this, I mean, they say the word blowjob and that kind of stuff. So it's very sexually charged, but they don't really use any profanity.
Were you just offering a spoiler warning for Return of Killer Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I didn't want if people have their kids listening, I don't want to say that word and go, a blowjob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the back
they
of the
mentioned
car.
It during the movie.
There's a guy scrambling now for the volume knob. It's great.
He said it twice.
Throwing
he
a towel over times. The
It's it a movie twice. Where the primary sex joke is that this girl who inexplicably wants to have sex with this guy she just met, and by the way, his reaction to her when she first comes in the pizza joint and comes onto him is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's great.
It actually is probably my favorite scene in the movie. The way he reacts to her coming onto him so fast and strong is just outrageous. And I really, really loved it. But like, they just milk that for all it's worth. She knows 637 positions or something, and she wants to do them all with this guy.
Yeah, she's the C-3PO of this movie. You know?
She is.
The sex PO. Yeah.
The sex PO coming in going, I know I'm fluent in over 5,000 different forms of doing it. Here's a trope for you. Prisoners always have balls and chains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But only on the political side.
They want me to laugh so hard at that political thing. But that guy's out there and he's like, this champagne is the wrong brand or whatever.
Right.
They want me to laugh at that. I am never, ever going to laugh at that. Is so lowbrow and dumb. It's like, oh, let me get this straight. You constructed a joke because the guy used to be a senator or a mayor or whatever he was, or the president's, secretary of something, whatever.
He was a secretary of media or something like
something
that.
Something like that, or secretary of state or something. And he gets thrown in jail, so it's, pish posh where all the fancy politicians go to jail. And he's out golfing, and there's a personal freaking butler in a full butler suit with a giant tray full of champagne.
Yes,
right.
That's not ever funny.
No,
I chuckled.
No, you didn't.
Right. Maybe
no,
I did. Didn't. Maybe I did.
I know you better than that, Brian. You'd not laugh at that.
Maybe I rolled my eyes.
You're a funny guy. Yeah, you can roll your dude. My eyes were in the back of my throat by the time that thing ended. I had to roll them back.
And that's really the thing. A movie that is a series of sketches with a sort of overarching, interweaving, regular story between them, that can work. That can actually work.
Sure.
I mean, Lorne Michaels has made several of them that worked. Yeah. They weren't Oscar winners, but they were all right. And sometimes they actually do away with all the sketches, and you get Wayne's World, which is great.
Hold on one sec. On the Wayne's World. Can we talk about that for just a second?
Oh, boy.
So that was on in our house about 2 weeks ago, and I was super excited. I'm like, kids, gather round. You've not seen this. You were all too young. We didn't, for whatever reason, or you weren't even a dirty thought yet. Your mother and I weren't even married yet or whatever. Come on in here. Let's sit down. Let's watch this together and have a good old time.
Gather around the Victrola, kids.
And that movie.
With Wayne's World.
That movie, with the exception of a couple of scenes. And part of it is nostalgia, why it maybe still works for me. That movie does not hold up very good at all.
No. It's these same kind of jokes.
It is.
I don't know. And if you don't know the TV show, 50% of them are going to go right past you like swing.
Yeah. Right.
Not.
Right. None of that stuff is interesting unless you were really into SNL at the time. Now, that being said, I found it more dissatisfactory than my kids did. They had a good time. So a lot of that, and so this goes to perhaps your point, Randy, and a lot of that is tied to, in your childhood, let's say range 10 to 18, these things make more sense from a comedic standpoint or something, but it just did not hold up for me at all.
You're an old curmudgeon.
Yeah, I guess. But you can show me something super dumb. Like, I don't know. I can't think of anything right now, but I like dumb stuff.
You like dumb stuff?
I think I like
it. You must have loved this movie because that weird World Cup of Sailing thing that happens because of tomatoes.
Oh my god!
Altering the timeline.
Yeah. I like dumb. Okay, I like dumb stuff that's smartly made.
World Cup.
Smartly made dumb stuff.
Dude,
Airplane is still freaking funny as hell.
They wove together World Cup footage, not World Cup.
America's Cup footage.
Yes. Yeah. With old bad. Stock footage from pirate films.
Yep. Sure, because you can get that for free.
Yep. Errol Flynn is flipping in his grave. Yeah.
Now with that, see, now there's a good point. Like that's like the New York San Francisco thing. Were they trying to knowingly say, here's this footage interspersed in here? Isn't that funny? Because we took old movie footage, open source footage, public domain footage, and put it in here. Or were they trying to make the joke of, look how far we've gone with this competitiveness, like RoboCop style, where there's, everything's like to the death or Running Man or something. I couldn't tell what they meant. I know either way was stupid. Either way I was going to take it was not great. Either way I was going to walk away going, that is a waste of time. Don't show me that again. Right?
Right, right. I'm, you know,
I'm not crazy, right? This movie was shit, right?
I'm not gonna. I'm gonna say that this movie is maybe a guilty pleasure because it's really hard to explain why I enjoyed it, and I don't laugh at all the stupid jokes, you know. But a few things I do laugh, and I still laugh when I think of Igor putting on his full Igor and doing his little Igor walk. Following the professor. Yeah, so,
maybe,
I mean,
that made me
smile.
I may have smiled. Sure.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a combination of how it's aged. It's a combination of me being in a different place mentally. It's a right. And then it's a combination of them. It's not smartly done. It's cheap. It's just cheap right. laughs for cheap sight gags. Cheap. Cheapest possible synthesizer music you can buy. Everything's cheap.
Hey, watch it. Don't talk about the music in this movie. Cause I think the music in this movie is actually really good, really smart. I'm not being sarcastic.
Is this real life? Who are you? What are you doing?
I'm telling you. Can you not tell me how you may have missed this little gem, but the Sinatra.
I got that impersonation.
That was fantastic. That was great. That was
spot
on.
This. This isn't good.
No, but it was timely. Oh, I mean, it wouldn't be any different. I mean, come on.
It wasn't timely. That's the thing.
It was an 80-something. It was.
So
it
what's
was
Harold
right
Faltermeyer
on.
Doing?
Yeah, you know he's got talent.
You know he's got talent.
I thought the music was great. And I think they're really smart about it. I think it was really kind of overlooked.
You're the roper to my Ebert or something. You just want to we want to have a fight out in Chicago.
I want to punch you in the purple lips. Let's do it. Oh, he's dead. I can't do that anymore.
Oh, too soon.
Oh, too soon.
The purple lips. Jeez Louise.
Poor guy.
And also, I'm not thinking of Roper. I'm thinking of the other one. The other one that died.
Siskel.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pretend like I'm living with two women and I'm gay. I'm not. That's
what?
The wrong
what are you talking about?
The Roper
from
Mr.
Roper.
Oh, that Roper.
I got the reference.
Okay, great. Anyway. All right, real quick while we're on that subject, then we'll move on.
Okay.
Roper? Ropers? Roper? The Ropers or Mr. Furley?
Oh, Mr. Furley, not even a question.
Okay, Brian.
Boy, that's tough. Yeah. You know, the Ropers had... They were both one joke, you know, is the Ropers weren't having sex and Mr. Furley was just a bumbling fool who, and in both cases, they're all fooled by the whole Jack is gay thing.
Yeah. Or they hear something on a door behind them. I would say
the Ropers, just because Audra Lindley was the only person on that show who wasn't fooled by Jack being straight.
Okay. Right, fair enough. Randy,
the Ropers.
Yeah.
Really?
I like the dynamic.
So I stand alone, Scott?
No. I'm a Mr. Furley man.
All right.
Mr. Furley was funny, but too stupid.
I guess I'm just a sucker for Don Knotts and his dumb face. So.
I love Don Knotts, but
I needed him to be a little bit more aware.
Yeah, he was pretty out of it. Who came first, though?
That's the crux of comedy, man.
All right. Yeah. Ropers came
first.
They
spun off into their own show while there was a Mr. Furley.
That's right, dude. How terrible was that?
That was horrendous.
Did you ever see it? The Ropers?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we watched it.
I remember this. Okay, hold on. We're going to listen to the Ropers theme just real quick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're going to hear it right here on the show live. Here we go. The Ropers intro. Here you go. That's even curmudgeonly Mr. Roper music there. Here we go. This is really quiet. I apologize. Oh my gosh, they're dancing on the screen.
Wow.
You need to see this. Oh, holy shite. All right.
That's better music than
Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
This is true, but what?
I don't think so.
Just look at that video when you get a second. It's real bad. Real bad. I feel bad for those people.
Oh, me too.
They shouldn't have taken that deal.
Wasn't there a scene with him looking through binoculars at neighbors or something? And
yes,
she catches
there was. Was that in Three's Company, though?
I can't remember if that was Three's Company or the beginning of the Ropers.
I think it was Three's Company. And she comes and bats it away out of his hand, and he looks at the camera like, wah, wah. Spinoffs were so bad in this era, like Flo and Enos and this.
Grady. Mm-hmm. Did you guys watch Grady?
Grady was terrible.
Wait, what's Grady from?
Grady was from, what's the one with
Sanford and Sons.
Sanford and Sons, right.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know
that. And Sanford and Sons was amazing.
Grady had to move in with his daughter or something like that, or his daughter moved in with him.
And they always called it the name of the dude for the spinoff. So, The Ropers, right. Flo. Right. Like, they could never say, I think Enos was Enos in the City. So maybe they went a little weird there, which was straight up, you guys. Enos from Dukes of Hazzard, this hayseed freaking deputy sheriff, moves to L.A. to work for the actual LAPD, and it's serious. Like, they tried to go, like, Mary Tyler Moore to Lou Grant. Like, the same idea, like, go from, but in this case, comedy to total serious cop drama, and it was utter freaking garbage. But aren't you glad you live in a time where you can find all this on the internet? Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Enos and Daisy Duke.
I would like to know if Pat Harrington ever got his own show.
Oh, yeah. Schneider?
Schneider from
One Day at a Time.
One Day at a Time, yeah.
He did. Didn't he die during One Day at a Time? I mean, not physically. Didn't they have kill his character off? Am I remembering that wrong?
Really?
Didn't they kill him off near the end or something?
I don't remember that, but...
Oh, because he died, like, recently. Like...
But I know he died physically after the turn recently. Of the century. I know he died recently physically. I'm talking about in the show. Didn't they kill him off? Like near the end?
I don't remember.
Am I not remembering that correctly?
He was in for all nine seasons. Oh my God. 9 seasons of that show.
Wow.
Valerie Bertinelli, Bonnie Franklin. Yep. But Mackenzie Phillips had to take a little break, I think, for rehab.
Remember that deal? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep.
That was a big whoop at the time. Mm-hmm. Real quick here, Enos. I got to tell you about this Enos deal. Enos, he was in a scene with Michelle Pfeiffer in that show, Enos. Let's see if we can get a taste of it.
And Pat Harrington's still alive, by the way.
There you go.
No, really?
Yeah.
Thank you for all the plants.
Oh, wow, she's young.
I'm glad they're getting a good home.
Ooh.
Have a nice trip, man.
Oh, my gosh. He's still this hayseed, but he's in the big city, man. He's in the big city. Okay.
I would have sworn Schneider died a few years ago. I must be thinking about some other character on a sitcom that overran everybody else with their presence.
You're thinking of Good Times.
Maybe.
No, there's another. Weren't there spinoffs from the Jeffersons? So the Jeffersons spun off from All in the Family.
Right.
Then didn't you have the maid go do something?
Was that Good Times?
No.
Or was that...
she did 227, and it wasn't the same character.
Oh, yeah, 227. I forgot about that.
Well, there was also Archie Bunker's Place.
Oh, right, dude.
Yeah, there were a lot of spinoffs from All in the Family. Because Gloria, right? I think it was just called Gloria.
Yeah. Did you almost say a Stefan at the end there?
No.
Okay.
I was thinking it was called Gloria and Meathead or something. But
Gloria and Meathead. I just missed that. They don't do that now. Like, they tried it once in a while. Like, you had the Four Horsemen or whatever from, freaking the X-Files.
The Lone Gunman.
The Lone Gunman. The Four Horsemen.
Oh, yes. It was given the horrible.
And you know whose show that was?
Friday Night Slot.
That was Vince Gilligan's show, man.
That's right. Yes.
He wrote that.
Anyway. Okay. So here you go. All in the Family does have the most spinoffs for primetime television series.
Okay.
Oh, everybody gets a show. Everybody gets a show.
Maude was the first spinoff.
Okay, yeah.
And then Good Times spun off of Maude.
Oh, really?
Because Maude's former maid, Florida, was the matriarch of Good Times.
Okay.
The Jeffersons, and then Checking In spun off of the Jeffersons, which was...
Florence,
right? The maid and her doing her deal.
Right.
And then Gloria was the third spinoff of All in the Family. And then Archie Bunker's Place came back after the show went off the air, and it came back. And then 704 Hauser was the Bunker's house with a new family in it.
What?
Gosh.
That is amazing, dude.
Show, the house.
You know what they're like? They're like the TV's 70s TV equivalent of the Native American and wasting none of the buffalo, you know? Like every ounce of that show. That's amazing.
Archie Bunker's clothes were donated to this Goodwill. We'll follow it in this new series.
We use the entire sitcom. Clothes. The whole sitcom. We waste none of the sitcom.
That's the best analogy ever.
That's amazing.
The Native American of the sitcom world.
And it's hard to think of a lot of long-running and subsequent television shows without thinking about All in the Family. Like,
yeah, can't help it.
It may not have spun off, say, The Simpsons, but they owe so much to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you had Cheers and you had Frasier. I mean, I'm starting to think that the successful ones, there were few and far between. But yeah, I mean, All in the Family is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest tanker. We talked about this on TMS, I think, but the biggest tanker ever was After MASH.
Oof, yeah.
Oof.
Well, that and the Bradys.
Yeah.
The Brady Brides or the, whatever it was called.
Brady.
I'm having
that
a hard time.
The source material wasn't that great anyway.
No.
You know, we're talking about a movie that's a sequel,
yeah.
although it does everything it can to, you know, ruin that idea.
Yeah.
But I'm having a hard time thinking of a television show that was a spinoff other than The Jeffersons
mm-hmm.
that was like as good as or better than what it spun off from. Like, spinoff.
Oh, huh? I think Frasier did.
Frasier's.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Frasier's great.
Frasier's easily as good
as Frasier holds up
Lou
a lot
Grant?
Better.
Frasier's great now. Watch it now. It's really good. I think
I may need to because I'm not.
Lou Grant is really good. Although,
Moore show.
Yeah, but Lou Grant's a full on drama, whereas he was full on comedy in the other one. I still think that's a little abrupt and weird, but you're right. It's a good show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it can be done. It's all about if it's good, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what was really good?
Hey, Hollywood. Do it good. And then everything's fine.
A Different World was better than The Cosby Show by like leaps and bounds.
Shut up. That was the girl in college, right?
It was.
The one that got the shotgun and the hoo-ha from that movie that Brian liked so much.
Oh, jeez.
What's the...
That's the one.
You're talking about...
Shotgun and the hoo-ha.
Lisa Bonet yes. and Angel Heart.
Angel Heart. Yeah. Oh. Remember that scene? It's pretty rough.
I refuse to watch that movie.
I don't recommend
really? It. Really? Oh, it's so
damn good. I was a very specific age when that movie came out.
Yeah.
And it... Like, I was scarred by this whole concept that Lisa Bonet was in it.
Oh, for Pete's sake, we could skip over that part because the whole rest of the movie is so well done.
I like that you said it the way Marge Gunderson would say it. Oh, yes, for Pete's right. sake, the whole movie's just fine, you know.
Oh, get a hold of yourself with the whole thing, dear. I am cooperating.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, there was one of these. It was a love montage.
One?
Well,
one?
The main
pizza making montage.
Yeah, I forgot about that pizza. But the one I'm thinking of is where he's got the girl and they're rolling around getting ice cream cones and having fun and going to the park and she's going to a store and she wants to spend time with the plants and he doesn't understand why. And
looking at toasters. What was the whole bit about the toaster?
Well, let me see if I can remember. Hold on. Okay, now I'm back in it. I don't remember. What the hell was that?
Domestication. She, like I said, this was a total throwback to the 50s kind of love. And she was basically reflecting what she assumed was what man wanted. Man wanted a woman who would accept sexual favors, you know, and would iron your pants and would be totally into kitchen appliances.
But there was a whole big fixation with toast. Like when she's saying, hey, can I make you guys breakfast? Waffles, you want toast, waffles, bacon, toast, eggs, or toast?
Must have come from the first movie.
Okay.
That's a good point.
They made
reference with it with Gomez. He said at one point, nobody makes toast like her.
The perfect woman.
Yeah, the perfect woman makes perfect toast and irons your pants and does sexual favors, as Brian said. Favors.
Puberty love.
What else? Hair. Yeah, we'll talk about more of that, too. Let's see. I know. It's supposed to be... all the stuff I read a bunch, and it's supposed to be all this social commentary. I don't know. What's this? What am I missing? What's the social commentary here?
I mean, we haven't even talked about the Red Scare and, you know... That's mostly where it was at. You know, is it acceptable to have tomatoes here? The tomatoes aren't really necessarily bad. It's the professor who's creating them. And there's a...
So was a communism connection? Is that the point?
Absolutely. You know, the Reds are going to invade us and everybody's paranoid.
Maybe we're far enough out of the Cold War proper that I just don't think of things like that anymore. It just seems weird. Right. Now I just think dash cams and weird hookers. That's Russia today. What is Russia today? Dash cams and weird hookers. Yesterday, my kids go, Dad, dude, if this is an indication of living in 2014, I don't know what is. The kids walk in here and they go, Dad, what's the deal?
What's the deal, Dad? Hey,
Dad, what's the deal? They go, what's the deal with all of these Russian cars and people showing cameras in Russia of people's cars crashing and stuff? And I had to explain the whole Russian insurance scam thing where people jump in front of your car and everyone started putting cameras in to show that, hey, that guy jumped and, you know, he's not going to extort me.
Did you just pull up the Daily Show video? I think that's four minutes of epic brilliance.
I should show him that.
And by the way, if I'm telling everyone listening to my voice, if you have not watched the Daily Show series called Jason Jones Live from Sochi-ish, there it is on the dailyshow.com. It's a series of the best in Russia video I've seen in a decade.
Yeah, it is, it's amazing.
So it gives you such a funny but clear idea of what it's like to go to Russia as an American.
They ran it during the Olympics and stuff. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not wrong about that. Let's see what else. That thing in the middle where they stop the whole movie and break the fourth wall. Oh, didn't care for it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just keep doing it.
Yeah, the rest of the movie, they just did. And then I zoned out hard at the end. It's supposed to be action packed and stuff, but I really lost it.
What was action packed? It wasn't supposed to be action packed.
Wasn't it? They're chasing after the tomato.
On four wheelers.
Four wheelers.
And
they were all wearing costumes for some dumb reason.
And then you get to the end of the movie.
So it was a dumb reason.
Guy in that costume was dumb.
That is a direct result of you not seeing the first one, because those characters were the big heroes in the first one.
This is like playing Street Fighter 2 and having to know what Street Fighter 1 was like.
So you didn't like Scuba Steve, and you didn't like the Lone Ranger of Color.
Nope.
You didn't like him.
Nope.
Didn't like that.
Ranger of Color. Did I hear?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of a Mel Brooks kind of thing. I actually thought that was rather.
Is such a too much compliment. Way too much, compliment.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
It reminded you of it in that someone put a black dude in a white guy's costume, I guess.
Reminds me of when I saw this turd in the toilet and I went back to work the next day, went in the room and the turd was still there. That's what that kind of callback is like.
There's no
what are you still doing here?
Right, exactly.
All right. You want to do clips? Should we do clips?
Yes.
All right, fine. I like to ask.
Yeah.
Here's your first clip. I don't know what it is.
All the time.
Oh, that guy. And by the way, I don't know why the intro clip tonight cut off. That was weird.
Was weird.
I don't know what happened there.
It was so actually funny. Good timing, though. It cut off just right.
Yeah.
This movie was bookended by that
that dude.
That Saturday evening movie kind of introduction.
Yeah, who was never like anything I ever saw. He's totally unreal, lame, and dumb.
And there's another guy who switched the tapes again, and we're going to watch Beach Girls movies with their tops off.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, here's my favorite part of the theme song right here. I like that part.
Because there's somebody pretending to be a trombone?
Yes.
I love it.
Right.
That was my reason.
It was awesome. Hey, what about that? What about it's kind of a visual trope, but during the Keystone Cop era, there's kind of this whole idea of a scrum rescue where there's like a scrum kind of going on, and they just walk in, get the object everybody is fighting over, and they just walk out with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? Yeah, the fuzzy tomato.
Right. Yeah, that happens. Yeah. But again, it's usually in like
Amazing Stories.
I can't think of the movie. Like a road race movie.
Like we watched not too long ago.
Cannonball Run kind of thing.
Sure.
Mm.
Sure.
Like everyone finally gets their last second. They all scramble into the gym and find the magic egg or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's not in that movie. But I'm
down with that.
Angry
spoiler,
sounds.
If you haven't seen Cannonball Run.
7 seconds of angry sounds. Here you go. That was all the Rambos.
Yeah, Rambo Ragus, just going nuts.
Yeah. Need more fiber in your diet. How about this one? Here's 15 seconds of George Clooney. Ooh. Sit back, everybody, and listen.
I'm not ready.
that was a long time ago, boys. Things were different then. Tomatoes were legal. You could find them everywhere.
Hey, Chad, there he goes again.
Sometimes I sure miss pizza with tomato sauce.
All right, one medium coconut with anchovies and strawberry jam. Right.
I guess it was 15 seconds of the other guy and like a second and a half of him.
Yes. 15 seconds that ends in a second of George Clooney.
Because at first I was like, wait, that's not him. But then it's been a while since I recorded that. All right, here's this.
Tomato.
All right, that's that.
That sounded like.
Tomato.
That's Cleveland, that's isn't
Cleveland.
It?
Cleveland. It was 100% Cleveland.
Oh,
guy.
My gosh, it is.
Tomato.
Yeah. Oh, tomato.
Oh, it's the guy who says it and then everybody
No,
comes
no,
out
no, no. Like that guy.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Coming down the tub.
All right. Puberty love combo. Here you go.
Puberty love.
Oh, this is a long one.
Puberty love. It was a fluke. One in a million shot. Who would have thought that one horrible song would shrink those giant tomatoes that I worked so hard to create? This time, music will be our victory, not our defeat.
All right, fake laughs and all, but here's the thing. Puberty Love. Isn't that, that was Courtney's real birth name before she met Kurt Cobain. Puberty right. Love? Got it. Yes. Got it? All right, great. Here's this. Here's Clooney. Here's Clooney.
Okay, ladies, now what we need is your name, your phone number, your address, and a picture. Please do not forget the picture. Thank you.
See, that's Clooney, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's down at the shoe store. Ha ha, nudge, nudge.
He gets crap still today for treating women like cars, but
womanizer.
Whatever. It's fine. He's a handsome man.
How does he treat women like cars? Does he try to get in them and drive them?
Well, then he gets tired of one and buys another one. That's what he does.
Steps on their feet like brakes and gas pedal.
Here's a fuzzy tomato.
Fuzzy tomato.
Fuzzy tomato.
Fuzzy tomato.
All right.
That sounds like a band.
George Clooney singing. This is pretty good.
Oh, Susanna, well, don't you cry for me. Because I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee.
Was that from Oh Brother Where
Art Thou? I do not know the rest of the words to the song. I think I'll make them up.
Right. No, but that's it's interesting you say that.
Right, right.
Because it may as well have been, right?
That was
well
his
been,
audition tape no, for...
It may as well not have been. No. No, they just told him, do whatever you want in front of the camera here, right, and he did whatever he was feeling like doing. It was nothing like the Coen brothers.
My
it was
favorite
not,
thing you've ever said to me is, no, it may as well not have been. That is brilliant. I love that. All right.
What are you talking about over here?
Here's a little, here's the.
You know, there you go. The Coen brothers could get away with a little high-speed video footage. If any, sure. If there's any director out there who can.
They probably could.
The Coen brothers could possibly pull it off.
If somebody did a silent movie on purpose that wasn't that one that won those awards. But another one,
the artist,
where they got all Keystone-y with it. I could see that happening.
Oh, yeah, and the Coen brothers would be great at that sort of thing.
Here's something about a cloud jockey.
She's a real cloud jockey.
All right, I just wanted to address this for a second.
I'm glad you did.
What is a cloud jockey? Does that just mean she's spaced out?
She's spacey. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Made up some words in here. What are you talking about? They made up a few.
A cloud jockey sounds like somebody who's
totally catch on.
Like a weather expert, like a weather balloon maker should be called
someone
a cloud
who's,
jockey.
Okay, a jockey rides something. If you're riding a cloud, you're an angel.
Right. Aww. See? You've really sweetened the pie here. I appreciate it. Here is the blonde-headed boob.
You blonde-headed boob!
There you go. That's that. Oh, you guys, I got some old tape of Ibbitt on prom night. This is from high school.
All right.
His high school prom, and this is exclusive. Exclusive. This is Brian's voice, so this is going to be a little different because, I mean, it's high school, dude. You've changed since high school. But anyway, I really want to tell Brenda.
This up.
I want Brenda to know how much we appreciate letting us have this old tape. And here it is. Check it out. Right here. Whoops. Come on. Play. Here we go.
You know I like it when you touch me there.
Oh, Brian, you were quite the crooner. Smooth, man.
That's pretty spot. Really? That's all that for that?
Yep. I went a long way.
I was really expecting something far worse.
Drove a long way around to find out where Brian likes to be touched. Okay.
Right there.
What was with this lady? Right here. Right here.
Valerian root powder.
Valerian root powder lady.
She was totally stoked about that.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
I really like valerian root. Yeah. I am a little bit like...
It chills you out, right?
I'm a little smitten with valerian root. I would compare it to kava.
Yeah.
If you want to like... If melatonin ain't putting you to sleep at night anymore, try valerian.
Root will you get real sleepy on it. It's good.
Do you get that excited though when you're in Costco when you spot it? I mean,
no.
You yell out?
No. Costco doesn't have it, but no. You'd have to get this like a GNC or something, yeah. I don't know where they were. Maybe Whole Foods would have something, but you'd have to go somewhere a little more specialized than your local Walmart usually. Let's see here. How about this one here? Oh, this reporter. He's the worst reporter of all time. Here you go.
Strip teasers, topless dancers, nude beaches, women taking showers, good or bad. We begin a 15-part investigative report starting next Monday here on Channel 6.
Women taking showers, I would argue, is good.
It is a good thing.
Good or bad?
I call it good.
Why is he asking if it's good or bad?
I don't know. That's odd. That guy was terrible. I hated him. Here's a Pepsi spot. Here's a little product placement for you.
Well, I'm kind of thirsty. I wonder if you got something I could drink.
Kind of thirsty. Yeah. I'll tell you, when I'm thirsty, I go out and I get myself a Pepsi Cola.
Wow, a Pepsi Cola.
Yeah, you know, it's the choice of a new generation.
Well, groovy.
Okay, hold on.
Groovy.
He says Pepsi Cola. The other guy says Pepsi Cola.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. Where do you guys land? What's your regional choice
Pepsi.
Of Pepsi? Okay. Pepsi. But you'd never say Pepsi Cola, would you?
If I'm trying to be...
annoying.
If I'm trying to be verbose, if I'm stalling for time, can I have one of those Pepsi Colas?
I would never say that ever, even if I knew I wanted a Pepsi. I cannot imagine.
It's more likely I'll do a Coca-Cola. Hey, can I have a Coca-Cola?
Yeah, I would never say that either. True. I would say, I would have a Coke, and they would say, is Pepsi okay? I'd say yes. And
they always ask, is Pepsi okay? Yeah. Always.
I have that. I have a t-shirt that says that. Giant it's Pepsi
really
logo.
Tired it's of Pepsi being
Cola.
Asked.
Yeah. Pepsi.
Why do they do that? Why must they ask that question?
It's super annoying.
Well, because for some people, Pepsi's not okay. I'm sure there's people out there who...
That people is me.
Yeah, oh, but really? I wonder how many times they have that. Somebody come back in and just throw the cup at them and just, this is domestic.
It's Pepsi. Yeah. You didn't ask me if Pepsi was okay, but you gave it to me anyway.
My daughter claims Pepsi makes her sick, so she can't do Pepsi. I don't know why she thinks.
Wow, I love that.
Makes her nauseous.
She claims
she doesn't like the taste.
Doesn't trust her.
Says it's too sweet.
Preferential.
Well, yeah. Is that what it's called? It's like people can't smell their own pee or whatever it is.
I don't think that's at all what it's called. That's a term that
I've
talks
about
to,
that.
Somebody to make up.
Somebody told me. Oh no! It's not their own. No, what it is everybody's pee smells worse when they eat asparagus, but only some people can smell it. That's what it is.
Oh right, yeah, and it's like the cilantro thing.
Yeah.
Oh, cilantro is delicious.
Yeah, yes, but
a lot of people will say no. It tastes like foil.
Yeah, it's like dirt or foil or metal.
Oh, I love cilantro.
Yeah, what do they call it? It's something selective tasty thing. It's
selective tastiness.
No, that's exactly it. Selective tasty thing.
Is that it? Selective tasty thing. Well, it's S-T. It's S T T.
Yeah, S-T-T.
For sure. You hear that used a lot. Yeah. All right. Moving on to this again. Oh yeah, I just want to play it again one more time. Oh, I hear that clapping echo thing in the middle. Jeez.
Man.
So bad.
If only Herbie Hancock hadn't given us that exact idea.
I know, right?
So many years
people
before.
Really, really used his thing and took it to the furthest possible end of decade they could. All right,
What's weird is that is just the synthesized bass. And a real bass sounds so much better. Like, just play a bass.
Play a bass.
Put a microphone in front of it.
Yeah.
We know that now.
I know bass players get crap, but it's okay. Play a bass. We're fine with it. Here's some yelling for no reason. Dude, that goes, I just want you to know that goes for another 8 seconds. So.
For my 13-year-old, my 13-year-old mind. That would have killed.
No, it wouldn't.
It would have killed.
I would have, I agree with Brian Dunaway. I would have laughed and laughed and laughed.
Really?
Funniest thing ever.
At 13.
Absolutely. Yes, at 13 would have been the funniest thing ever.
At 10, maybe. 13, I think I was over it. All right. Angry acting. We search for these things. We look for them, and I found one. So here's some angry acting.
How are you going to tell one tomato from another? Are we going to check the stems? I guess we'll just have to take them all, won't we?
No, my favorite part of that is that's Clooney in the first two lines, but they overdub one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it's him. So listen to that again.
How are you going to tell one tomato from another? Are we going to check the stems?
See, I think it's totally the second one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. And plus the first one, was he drunk? Like, what was he doing? Hubbardy gibber, gibber, gibber.
Yeah.
All right.
Windiggy.
That's what it is.
There you go. Can we watch Ravenous again?
Yeah, Ravenous was good fun. Good fun.
That was really good.
I had no idea. I don't know if I said this in our last episode, but I actually emailed you guys the week before we did that episode of Film Sack. I'm like, you know, I just watched this movie and oh my God, this might not be good for Film Sack. Turns out, best ever for Film Sack.
Oh, we had a ball.
1,000 more movies like Ravenous.
Yeah, plus people really like that episode, so. We were onto something there. Good job, Corinne. Hey, look at this. It's the Film Sack checklist. I keep doing this.
Too.
I know. I can't help it.
What is it?
I got to change the name of it. All reporters are complete dicks. Yes. Check. I mean, anything worse than a mime is a mime and a mustache. Check. And then finally, knowing that George Clooney is going far after this, despite how bad it is. Check. Mm-hmm. Star Trek connections. I didn't understand that email at all. Basically, there are two dudes named Dave Adams, according to Daryl, and they have something to do with this movie. And
Either one of them have anything to do with this movie.
What was the point of that email then?
Because there's a bunch of Dave Adams on IMDb or whatever. There's a bunch of Dave Adams that have done things in Hollywood. It gets all very confusing.
All right. So nobody had any Star Trek is the bottom line. All right, great. Dave Adams, wherever you are, good job. Yeah,
sorry.
Both of you.
Sorry, Dave Adams.
Soundtrack grade, to give it a... SO for synth overload.
Oh.
Bad. It's just bad. Now, Brian, I'm with you that sometimes the sound of the 80s is this, but I don't know why this felt wrong to me, and I can watch Beverly Hills Cop and not feel
that. I challenge you in 5 seconds to play something that is, that represents the good sound of the 80s.
Okay.
That is is like, you
don't
know, like,
you forget about me.
But okay, yeah, so you're saying, because you're taken, when I started saying that, you were taken to the beginning of the Breakfast Club, basically.
Ending. Well, I guess both, yeah. Wasn't it at the top and the bottom?
Pick up any Thompson Twins song right now.
Yeah. But, hold me now. Something, something, something.
But I think Brian Dunaway would agree with me that you're naming songs that didn't do what this the music in this movie does specifically.
Okay.
Like all right. What about
Harold
Faltermeyer?
The sound of the 80s.
Okay. How about this one? I got one for you. Hold on. This is going to be...
I gave you so much time just now.
Any Beverly Hills Cop Harold Faltermeyer music.
Right.
Okay. There you go.
Exactly.
That still holds up, dude. That's still pretty good. Let me skip ahead.
That holds up.
It's even got the clap echo thing.
It totally does.
And it holds up.
Play the Return of the Killer Tomatoes music.
All right, wait. I got to go back. It's in a weird place now. Okay, Kellen, now here's that one. Here you go.
Recycle bin.
Dude, they ripped it off.
Yeah. My lawyers are on the phone for you right now, Mr. Faltermeyer.
It's a parody.
Faltermeyer. All right, it's poo. That's what we know. All right, it's time for us to sum up this movie in 140 characters or less, and you guys always do it, and we always start with Randy. Go.
Return of the Killer Tomatoes. Like that time they played the brown note in the middle of the night, you wake up later and wonder, what is all this shit?
I have a story about that. I'll save for another day. Also, finally, middle of the road here, Brian Dunaway.
You know what's hard? Return of the Killer Tomatoes. That's too long for my Twitter post. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Return of the Killer Tomatoes, like winning a date with Rob Lowe in a contest ran by George Clooney. You are totally getting screwed, pal.
Nice. Nicely done. And finally, Brian Ibbett.
Return of the Killer Tomatoes, a great movie to watch while you enjoy your Tropicana orange juice and your Orville Redenbacher popcorn. Now, if you'll hand me the Charmin, I'm going to go make another sequel.
Toast.
You write better than the movie did, yeah. And I mean it. Oh, look! Just hand it to me.
Hold on. Right here.
I got the alternate titles for the movie. Mm-hmm. Alternate.
Alternate.
This first one, Tomato Pope, or Miami Vice Pope. Those are your options, so
something
choose
with the
wisely.
Pope.
We got emails, and our first one comes to us from Adam from Tasmania. Ooh. That's where the devils are. Hey, guys. First of all, keep up the great work. In episode 209, the one about Ravenous, Randy mentions that Slovakia is as landlocked as you can be in Europe, unquote. I'd like to make an incredibly minor and unbelievably anal correction to this statement. There is one country in Europe that is doubly landlocked. Only one country in
doubly.
Meaning
a stereo, right. Stereotype.
Doubly. meaning a landlocked state that is bordered only by other landlocked states. And this is Tajikistan, Liechtenstan, or however the hell you say it. Tiny country. Yep, there it is.
Called on a technicality.
Liechtenstan.
Yeah, Liechtenstan. You know the one. Damn it.
That's the best squirini ever.
I'm going to have to.
Squirini.
Anyway, there's that. It's a country of about 35,000 people on the border between Austria and Switzerland. If you're ever in the neighborhood, it's quite beautiful. Adam from Tasmania.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's fine. It's good info. We like to hear from the Europeans. Kurt.
He was from Tasmania.
Oh, sorry. We like to
hear
from.
It's not even remotely European.
Well, they used to be. They were the prisoners, and they got sent to the colony.
We need a segment where we have thanks for being anal.
They were part of the imperial. God. They were part of the imperial thing.
I actually wish I'd let that go because then we would have gotten another email telling us Tasmania is not European.
Yeah. Whoops. All right. So hey guys, says Kurt, new guy. Kurt says, I heard you recently mention that you'd love to sack The Room. It's long been on our wish list. Just thought I'd let you know that the full movie is currently on YouTube. The entire thing in good quality. Keep up the great work. My job involves a lot of boring, mindless data entry, and FilmSack helps me get through it. Thanks, Kurt. P.S. Owen doesn't have a friend.
Owen doesn't have a friend.
So
bring me a glass of water with some ice.
We really should put this link, which I'm going to put in Skype. We should consider this because The Room is long considered.
Yeah, for sure.
The beast, the thing, the holy grail, the white whale. if you will.
The Beast with a Thousand Backs?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the ultimate film sack. Now, we'll be the judge of that, but that's the word on the street.
Oh, hi, Mark. Oh, hey, buddy.
I had a clip of that somewhere.
Hey, this video may be inappropriate for some users, so I got to agree.
What does that mean?
Because I wasn't signed in, so it's got a...
I know what you mean.
Warning.
Yeah, well, I think it's adulty.
It's adulty.
You know, it's got probably a boob or a wiener.
A boob.
Or a wiener.
Have we reached the boob point in the show where I can start raving about what we're doing next week on FilmSack?
Now's the time. Oh, wait, before you do, email us filmsack@gmail.com. That's where you send in these emails. Okay, now go.
We're watching Minority Report. We're watching Minority Report.
Finally, pukes. Get your puke sticks ready, everybody. Brian Dunaway is going to suffer through it. Neil McDonough is going to poke you with a puke stick. That Russian guy from the freaking space station in Armageddon. He's going to put your new eyes in. Oh,
yep. Hey, I watched Johnny Mnemonic. You can watch Minority Report.
Especially because Minority Report's a damn good movie.
Yes.
I'm going to say I watched it and then not.
For those of you just tuning in to the Frog Pants Network, a long time ago, Scott Johnson started a little podcast called Extra Life Radio.
Yeah.
And one of his co-hosts was Brian Dunaway.
Yeah.
And when Minority Report came out, Brian Dunaway saw the movie because this is what they used to do on Extra Life Radio. They would go see movies or play video games or draw comics or read comics and talk about them every Wednesday evening. And Brian Dunaway didn't love the movie.
Yeah.
Was not a fan.
He hated
still
it.
Not a fan.
Hated
he kind of hated it. Despite
he also the hates the new Star Trek movie. I want to throw that in there.
Oh my gosh, that was the worst.
I'd like to point out, we're talking about a Steven Spielberg film with music by John Williams and special effects by Industrial Light.
Well, you're describing Crystal Skull, so you can't quite go. Right. I can't quite get on that train, but you're right. He made this movie at a time where it was
based
good.
On a story by Philip K. Dick, produced by Jan de Bont.
Crimes delivered to you via a Rube Goldberg machine on wooden balls.
This is his whole problem with the movie, by the way. Balls. Right here is the problem.
We're going to have such fun next week. And by the way, we're watching it on DVD. We're going to be watching this thing in 480p, my friends.
That's right. And then right after this one, Brian, we're going to do another viewing of Into Darkness because you love that movie.
Oh my God, I hope not.
He really didn't like that.
I was okay with no. I'm not. I've got a whole new rant on that one. There's not a lot of movies I just hate. Yes.
Can we hold that next week? I would really love to hear the complete Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah. You know what? We'll promise you this. This is what you're going to get next week. You're going to get the Minority Report film sack, and at the end, we are going to get mini rant from Dunaway on why he hates Into Darkness so much. Because he's got real. You have real issues with it. Your Twitter exploded the other night.
Oh, and I wasn't the only one. That's what's great about it. I thought I'm going to Twitter this, and everybody's just going to.
There was a lot of this kind of like, I don't know. It's like the Arab Spring going on around Brian. These people going, Brian, I'm so glad someone finally had the courage to say what we've all been feeling. It was amazing to watch.
It was good.
So
was good.
When we do,
I felt very justified.
We should totally do that. We'll talk about it. I'm open to hearing what you have to say.
Especially given that it stars Brandon Berg, Crimpy Snitch. I mean, you can't. Right. How can that be bad?
Crimpy Snitch, dude.
Let me put it this way. It was on Netflix almost immediately. I mean, it went from the theater to Netflix like in 0.5 seconds.
No, it was a little longer than that. I had it in the movie draft last year.
I didn't even have time. I bought the Blu-ray. Didn't even have time to watch it before it was on Netflix. Okay, that's how fast. I pre-ordered it.
Okay, just as a sneak peek, I want to know right now, are you not a fan of Buttermilk Fumble Snatch?
I actually am a fan of him. It has nothing to do with him. It has to do with, let's just say it has to do with fan treatment.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, fan service, you mean.
Or
whatever, however you want to call it. I'm really anxious to see what Star Wars does for you in 2015.
Oh yeah!
Oh my God!
You're nervous now, aren't you? You're nervous.
Yeah. I wasn't nervous up until I watched that, and I was like, oh.
You know how that Star Wars movie is going to end? Jack was dead the whole time.
Wait a minute. Does the new forthcoming Star Wars movie have Fraggle Rock Humperdinck in it?
Yeah, Fraggle. Oh no. Is he? I don't know. Maybe. Could be.
Because that would be amazing.
He'd be a good alien head. He's already got most of the work done.
It would be good.
Just touch it up a little, and you're good. He's got a big, wide, weird head. All right. So that's that. We'll be back next week with Minority Report. And it feels momentous that we're finally getting to this. So I'm excited about it.
Finally.
Filmsack.com
and
is... Oh, go ahead.
Has to promise to watch it.
He will.
Maybe I die.
No, you'll watch it. Watch it, man. Come on.
You'll watch it. One of us. We'll change you.
FilmSack.com is our email, or is our website. FilmSack@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, find us at FilmSack. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are distributed. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
You cry for me.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.